All right, that was last night, Marks and Reese. We are back. And yes, Ben Simmons tweaked it. You knew it wasn't good. Mm-mm. He pretty much left the court right away. Mm-hmm. But then Woj had a tweet or something that said, oh, he's fine. You know, no swelling. Dislocated kneecap, partially dislocated kneecap. Based on just kind of what we've been reading, I mean, he's out at least 6 weeks, or they're saying indefinitely. I wouldn't expect him to play again this year unless they go deep in the playoffs, which even then, I don't know if he would play, Ike. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you think this is it for the year for Ben? They're going to have to go on without him?
I hope not, but it certainly appears that way. I think anytime you get a knee injury, you got to proceed with extreme caution. And when it's on this guy, you certainly are going to do that. I can understand if they had a real legitimate shot at winning a title. Now you're basically going to have to win without him and put yourself in position to win a title in order for him to come back, because it's not worth it if that's not the case. So I would imagine you put him on the shelf for a while. I can't see him back anytime soon. And if the Sixers can go on a little bit of a run and somehow get to that conference final, maybe he thinks about it. But, man, you're talking about the future, because here's the thing. Injuries that happen at this moment, especially significant injuries, can bleed over into next year. It just can't. It's going to – so
if the season starts December or whatever.
Exactly. So if they're going to start the season on Christmas Day, you don't want to push this thing to where he does further damage, and now it does require some type of surgery. And now he's out till March or April of next year. So this type of thing can wind up costing you next year as well.
Yes.
So I wouldn't imagine the Sixers are going to – do anything reckless with him. They certainly would have to get the okay from his management group, his people. That's how this thing works with the NBA now, with star players, right? So I can't imagine Clutch Sports would be too eager to rush Ben Simmons back out there.
Yep. So the question everybody,
even though he already has his max deal,
sure. Yeah, but I mean, you're right. I mean, we said the same thing with the back injury when he and then he got saved.
I was surprised they let him. Yeah, but that you're right. The four or five months of a layoff helped him. Yep,
helped him. Yep. So now the question for a lot of Sixers fans is: all right, if Ben's not going to be there, do they have enough to win? Right. First of all, a first round series, but can they get anything going to where they can get past that? Now, the one thing with Ben is that you don't rely on him to be your second best scorer. So that's going to help, right? Like Tobias Harris has actually looked very good since the restart started here. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be Ben's kind of the guy that does it all, and he's also your best defensive player, at least as long as he's not guarding TJ Warren here. But he's going to hurt you on the defensive end. Do I feel okay about the 76ers? I'll say this, like, if Joel Embiid continues to play the way he's been playing, he just looks like he's in a zone right now. Mm-hmm. I feel just as good about the 76ers as I did before with Ben Simmons. Really doesn't change the way I think about him.
Yeah, because you didn't have him doing very much.
Right.
Yeah, so that doesn't say a whole lot. You got him going out in the second round. Or first round.
Or the first round,
yeah,
sure.
You got him going out in the first round.
But,
so.
But I also don't look at it and say, oh, no, Ben Simmons is gone. They have no chance now. No, in fact, maybe they can get on a roll.
No.
Maybe they can get on a little bit of a roll here without Ben.
No. Nope. 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 And I've seen that from some people out there. And I get it. Your whole frustration with Ben, he don't shoot, all that. This team does not have a better chance of advancing without Ben Simmons. Because, like I've always said with Ben, it's not just about his scoring. It's the other things he provides. It's the extra passer that you have on the court. It's the only other matchup advantage you have when you look at his size and athleticism and you put him on opposing players. So that, in my opinion, weakens the team if that's not there. I don't necessarily – Ben's scoring is a plus. The other guys have to score. I know the shooting frustrates people, but not for me. I still need him for his defense. I know it hadn't looked good the first two games. Whatever. I just know when he's at his best, that's a perimeter defender that's much needed. Tobias Harris can't stay in front of people. The defense is not his strength.
Thibel
is a rookie. He's a rookie. That's going to get cooked by anybody of significance. Jimmy Butler,
well, I mean, Ben
Jason
gets cooked
Tatum.
Too.
Jason Tatum. Yeah, but you had a greater chance of getting cooked if you're a rookie than you did Ben Simmons.
I agree.
So it doesn't help you. That's the whole point. It doesn't help
you. But don't you agree that watching since Ben became the power forward that he didn't seem comfortable? Like, he needs the ball in his hands, right? And it seemed like that he was still more or less trying to be the point guard, even though he wasn't necessarily the point guard in name anymore, to where he hadn't looked good offensively. Right? Like, he hadn't looked like the same player to me, to where maybe in the beginning he embraced the, yeah, I'll be the power forward, sure. And then you go out and you're in the game and you're like, oh, well, all I am is the guy that is the offensive liability.
Well, he had 19 and 13 in that first game as the power forward.
Well, he didn't look good last night before the injury. All I'm saying
is he was in foul trouble the second game. He did look good last night before the injury. He did. He looked more aggressive. He had the ball. Like, they gave him a chance to get out on the perimeter and run. Again, I just think that people want to see this guy be a scorer. They want to see him shoot jumpers, and that clouds every other thought that you have about Ben Simmons. It just does. I just wholeheartedly believe that without him shooting jump shots and three-pointers, people don't care what else he does. They don't, and I get it. It's frustrating. I'm just saying, for me, I still know what else he brings to the table, and it's what this team needs. It's what this team needs. They don't have any perimeter defense with him not out there. They don't have any.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, listen, the defensive stuff you're not wrong about. Offensively, I think they're going to be fine. I think they'll be fine offensively.
Yeah, of course they will.
Yeah, okay.
Because they don't rely on his scoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think sometimes he has to have the ball a little bit too much in his hands, right? Where if he would just finish rather than whipping the ball around. I don't know. I'm interested to see what they look like without him playing, what this lineup looks like without him playing. Jack, you feeling better about the Sixers going down the stretch?
It hasn't really changed much. But I'm interested to see if Embiid can – like, Embiid looks great. And maybe with Ben off the floor, maybe it opens up a little bit. The problem is now Al Horford comes back in the starting lineup, which doesn't exactly help things. But maybe, like, you know, Shake and Toby and Embiid, I don't know.
You're fooling yourself. You're already hurt. You already have Mike Scott hurt, Glenn Robinson III hurt, and now Ben Simmons hurt. Those are your three best perimeter defenders. Like, those are your three athletic guys that you want to have out there on the perimeter. Guarding guys, veteran guys, and somehow you guys think they're better off. Why? Because they beat the Wizards yesterday?
No, the Wizards are a bad team.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out what makes them better without Ben Simmons. They're going to all of a sudden go out and beat Miami, Boston, Toronto?
No, I didn't. No, I don't know. I don't think that at all.
How does it make them better?
They weren't going to either. Didn't matter. It doesn't. This is unchanged for me. It's unchanged. I didn't think they had a chance before.
No, you just said it makes them better.
I think they have a better chance without Ben Simmons for a series than with him in the first round. I do, because you the newness of it, guys step up, right? You know you're missing one of your best players. Guys step up. Ultimately, I don't think it does everything.
That sounds like wishful thinking.
I'm not wishful thinking at all. I actually like Ben.
No, I'm just saying, when you say, unless you tell me how from an X's and O's standpoint, how this is going to help the Sixers, just saying that, not having him in there, and I think this is going to do this, I just think, no, that's just throwing stuff up against the wall saying this might happen.
We've seen the Sixers play better when one of these guys goes out,
right?
Like, why can't it happen now?
Play better against what competition?
It's still regular season competition. I gotcha.
No, I'm talking about the playoffs. You saw the Sixers play better 2 years ago when Embiid was out, when you were playing against teams that weren't even trying to win and they went on some 16-game winning streak. How did that help them? Did that make Ben a better player? Did it make him more confident? Did he still score 1 point in a game against the Celtics in a series? No, that still happened.
215-592-9494. We'll throw the Sixers into
it. I'm disappointed because you guys got low expectations anyway. I don't. That's why you say nothing has changed, because you didn't expect anything.
I think it's wishful thinking this team is going to make the finals.
Yes, that's wishful thinking.
No, I said Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes, Final Four.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. We'll go to Anthony in Mantua. We'll go back to the Phillies phones as well. Anthony in Mantua, go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Ant.
What's up, man?
So I wanted to talk about the Sixers. I really think they're going to make a push with Joel Embiid. I think this is going to be the silver lining of, like, Ben Simmons is, like, end with the Sixers. I really think after this season, if they make a playoff run, I think that they're going to get, you know, try to trade Ben Simmons away.
Wow. I tell you what, they trade Ben Simmons away. You better be bringing somebody back here that's a household name, that can be here for a long time, that's a star player, else you're going to have this fan base turn on the team.
But I don't know. I feel like, you know, Joel Embiid is just going to take over and kind of just do his thing.
He can do that with Ben. Ben doesn't take away shots from Joel Embiid. He scored 41 with Ben out there. Ben doesn't take away shots from Joel Embiid.
I don't think the Sixers move on from Ben Simmons for, you know, unless it's
obvious reasons. Yeah, you don't move on from a 24-year-old all-star player. No, for no reason.
He's under contract starting next year is when his max actually starts. So you still have – listen, they're going to have to figure it out with him, right? They're going to have to bring somebody else in here. Like I saw – it was some Twitter account that said league sources were saying that if Brett Brown doesn't go deep into the playoffs, he's going to be let go. And it's like, yeah, duh. Of course he's not. I don't see any way that Brett Brown saves his job unless they make the Final Four. I don't, unless they make the Eastern Conference Finals, unless they get close. I don't see any way he can solve his job. I don't think
anybody wants him here unless that's what he does.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, Brett Brown's been here 7 years.
You can only have one back next year, Brett Brown and Mack Lenzack.
Oh, that's a good one.
Brett Brown.
That's
an easy one for me.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah, Brett Brown.
Yeah, it's an easy one. It is. Yeah, I agree. That's a good Twitter question for the 3 o'clock hour, Jack. Brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's 5 years no interest for all diamond rings purchased in August. Shop local, buy the ring that you want now. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville, Route 309, marks-jewelers.com.
All right, Brett Brown can't screw up the Sixers. They pretty much have everybody already. Brett Brown can't do much to the Sixers, personnel-wise. They have four damn near max contracts on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
What personnel are you changing? You're not changing anything. You're changing role players.
Yeah, Klentak could have a much bigger role in screwing up or making the Phillies better,
yes.
Or a new GM could.
Yes.
Rob in Overbrook Park. Rob, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, guys? You know, I have to agree with both of you a little bit, but the biggest thing and Johnny Marsh is, for me, is the signing of Bryce Harper was a big mistake.
Because
explain
it
why.
The wrong message. It sent the wrong message to the fan base that we're ready to win now. We went out and got this guy. He's the last piece. And guess what? He's on a team that's nowhere near anywhere ready to win and won't be for a long time. So that was just, if you build it from slowly from within and then you go out and get that guy like the Phillies did 80 with Pete Rose, that makes a lot of sense. But you don't go spend that kind of money on Bryce Harper. And you got and the rest of your team suffers for that. Now you don't want to spend no more money. Now you got a suck team. And now you got Bryce Harper and that's it. You know, with what sense does that make?
You know what, Rob? Even though I completely disagree with your assessment of signing Bryce Harper, I'm certainly happy they went and did it. Actually, that's one of the few explanations that I've heard as to why it wasn't a good signing. And it makes sense because other than the fact you just want to put butts in the seats and sell tickets and jerseys, yes, signing a guy like Bryce Harper when you aren't necessarily really ready to win or commit to it, what's the purpose of doing it other than to sell tickets?
And you know what? And the fan base will go for that for a year or so. But after a while, they're like, what's going on? Where's the rest of the team at?
Yeah.
And Klentak, and as far as, Middleton and Klentak, this is a wild, wild six-foot hoggy. They both can take a bite at it. You know, because Middleton's a guy, he's responsible. He's a guy who hired this clown, Klentak and McPhail. And Klentak is responsible because, he's too well entrenched in this this cybermetrics nonsense, this junk managing a baseball team. You know, they both have to take a bite of this hoagie, brother.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Yeah, I did. See, here's the issue that I have with Middleton. I don't know, and my worry is that because it's a 60-game season and it really is difficult and it's almost unfair to judge based on the season, although I've seen everything I need to see to know that they need to move on, but I feel like he gives them another year. And so now we're going into 2021 and we have a GM that we don't want, that we don't feel like has done a good job. So now what? They have a new guy in charge for 2022? That's tough, man. 2022, we'll be going on 10 years since this team made the playoffs.
I've been telling y'all that for years. I've been telling y'all that for years, and everybody's been okay with them slow rolling this thing. You want to build within the farm system. You never want to make a move at the trade deadline to fight to get in the playoffs, and they're slow rolling this thing because people like yourself buy into this whole, you're not ready to win now, don't go over the luxury tax. Funny to hear Joe Santaligiglio say this because he didn't want to go over the luxury tax either, but now he wants John Middleton to go over the luxury tax. Last year, nobody wanted him to go over the luxury tax. This year, in a shortened season, we all want him to go over the luxury tax. Guess what? We've been wanting him to go over the luxury tax for 2 years because we don't care about a luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care. We want you to try to win freaking games and get this team in the playoffs. That's what we want. Not keep kicking the can down the road talking about rebuilding and developing when you got one out of eight players that you drafted that develops even into a major league player, let alone somebody that can help you win anything significant. What are we doing? We're just basically spinning our wheels here and being sold a bill of goods just to put money in their pockets. They're not really trying to win anything.
I disagree.
Oh, that's right, because they got the fifth highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah, John Middleton is trying to win something. The problem is...
No, John Middleton wants to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. He wants to win, but the team's not good enough, and they've totally screwed themselves
because
now
of Matt Klintak, the team's not good enough.
Yep, yeah. The guy he hired and continues to keep employed. Let's go to Greg in Atlanta. Hi, Greg.
Hey guys, how are you doing this afternoon?
Gregory,
what's up, Greg?
Hey, you can't be barking about the playoffs after last year saying you don't want them to do anything unless they were World Series contenders. Now you're, like, hoping for the playoffs like the rest of us are. So pull back on that a little bit. But I've got to put it all on Klintak, and for two words, farm system. I'm watching down here the local team, the Braves. They draft this guy from the high school that my son went to, this guy, Drew Waters. He plays for 2 years in the minors. He's on the major league roster. He comes up. He gets a couple of hits. They're raking the ball all over the park. The guys are in their early 20s. They got pitchers all over the place because they got a farm system. Here's what Klintak did, and I don't know one good trade he's made. He goes and trades Crawford and wasn't patient with him. I don't know that I blame him for doing it at that time, but it's not my job to be an expert. It's his job. He gets Segura and moves him to third base, and now we have Didi that we signed for 1 year that we're going to have to get rid of probably or pay. And it's just the same problem all over again because we don't have the farm system. I can't put that on Middleton except for the fact that you said all the responsibility goes to Middleton. You know, I mean, that's...
Yes, ultimately, that's he's the owner. Yeah. When he's the owner, ultimately, yes.
But he can't, like, every time somebody does something wrong, totally freak out. And by the way, Steinbrenner fired Billy Martin and hired him 5 times, and they still won. They still won the World Series.
Yep.
But Klintak to me is I'm not seeing any benefits from his hire. And McPhail is stealing money. And it's frustrating because I'm sitting here wearing my Phillies gear all over Atlanta. People don't... At least the people that I could see that don't wear masks, because I can't tell that they're doing it behind their mask. It's frustrating. Look at the roster.
Yeah.
I'm really frustrated because I watched both games last night. I saw the first one. It was 11-3. And next thing I know, I'm watching the Yankees have a couple guys on. And now it's 11-7. I told my wife, who's a Yankees fan, they're going to blow this.
Yeah, and two. Thanks, Greg. Two runners are on, and Neris comes in one pitch, and it's a deep fly ball to right field. I thought that ball was out. I'm giving the kids a bath, Ike, and I'm trying to watch on my phone. They go to Neris, and I finally bring up the Xfinity app on my phone so I can watch it live.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to get out of it. It was, you just made fun of me for wanting to draft and develop through the farm system. Well, I mean, look at the teams that are successful across Major League Baseball. What do? They draft and develop. That's what they do. They get the young stars, and they re-sign those stars, right? The Phillies haven't done that. Now, Spencer Howard, at least it looks like he's going to start on Sunday, Jack. They're saying to be announced, but...
Well, because I don't think they can officially say it yet because if they do, then it's surface time manipulation, I guess. And
right.
And Spencer Howard could kind of get mad at him or whatever.
Sure.
But it looks like he's going to start Sunday.
All right. Yeah, so you have one good pitcher, and you have a guy like Haseley who looks like that maybe he's a major league player. But outside of that, I mean, look at the other organizations. Look at the young studs that they have. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Carson Wentz was on the morning show this morning. What has Wentz say camp has been like? His thoughts on JP being back and being smarter with the football and more. That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Carson Wentz coming up next.
Hey, sports are finally back, and I've been taking in all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, I'm telling you, I'm laying these bets. I'm up and down. Bear with me. You win some, and you lose some. Now, I'm just saying, I'm not 100%.
Stick with you.
Just hanging there with me, hanging there with me. I got a couple more for you today with the NBA. My first one isn't looking too good right now. I had the Pelicans minus 4. Over Sacramento today. But here, you may be able to rebound with a later game. Take the under. Los Angeles versus Dallas tonight, man. Take the under in that game. Take the under. Over seems too easy. I think the under pays out today. And FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. Here's why. The app is super easy to use. Now, whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're new to wagering, you'll find what you're looking for in just a few taps. And once you win, FanDuel pays you out in as little as 24 hours. Best of all, FanDuel Sportsbook will let you place your first bet risk-free. Just place any bet you want and get up to $500 back if you don't win. Make sure you type in FanDuel.com/Ike to get started so they know that I sent you. Again, that's FanDuel.com/Ike.